You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome in to a new episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. And this is the show where we give you the inside scoop on everything going on in the world as it pertains to your Houston Rockets. And this week, I really do mean everything in the world, because with the Olympics now underway, there are quite a few players like Nene on Team Brazil, Sergio Yule on Team Spain, and Zhou Qi on Team China, who are either set to be Rockets this coming season, or could be a few years down the line since the Rockets hold their international rights. We'll break down their performances in just a few minutes, but to start with, I want to focus on a new item involving James Harden. Because let's be real, with the Houston Rockets for the foreseeable future, everything starts and ends with James Harden. And for the most part, it's all been positive. We've heard he's in phenomenal shape, we've seen the videos of him working out, both individually as well as with his Rockets teammates, and we know that this is supposed to be the James Harden redemption tour. We know he's looking forward to the 2016-2017 season as an opportunity to both redeem himself personally and the Rockets as a franchise for the way people around the league perceived this past season as underachieving. But a few of you may have seen a tweet floating around this weekend that was somewhat critical of Harden and his ability to serve as a point guard in Mike D'Antoni's offense. Here's the background on that. David Locke is the radio play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz, and he's basically the godfather of this whole Locked On podcast network. In addition to his own Locked On Jazz show, he also hosts a show called Locked On NBA, where he talks about issues related to the league as a whole. As part of that Locked On NBA show, David's enlisted a current NBA scout that's willing to come on the show and give his honest opinion about teams and players, so long as he doesn't have to reveal his name. And I think we can all understand why. Anyway, a few days ago, David spent a few minutes asking the scout about the Rockets and specifically about James Harden. Here's what he said.
I sometimes think the biggest additions happen by subtraction. And one of the things is I think you and I have talked about it before. I have this stat that I believe in called PAC, in which I really just detest for below average offensive players. Players who use possessions below the league average really, really hurt teams at a much higher rate than I think people realize. One of those teams that's done that is the Houston Rockets. Josh Smith was well below average. He's gone. Terrence Jones, well below average. He's gone. We'll see what happens with Monte Yunus. He was below average last year. He's gone. They suddenly have a team with a marquee offensive player in James Harden, and then everybody but Corey Brewer is an above-average offensive player statistically. Is there a chance that Houston subtly is much better and with D'Antoni and maybe with the subtraction of Dwight Howard and all of the stuff around it, might that Houston may be surprisingly better than people realize?
I would guess that their playoff team, I would guess that, with every coaching change, there's a renewed energy, and I agree with you in that sometimes taking away guys that pull you down, personality wise can hurt the team, and by subtracting them, you get a chance to do better. Definitely agree with that. And then when you think about the fact that Josh Smith is Dwight's guy, getting rid of that pair probably helps. I think there's a lot of good offensive teams in the West, and the difference makers are going to be the ones that play defense. So we'll see. D'Antoni's system was really good with a great point guard when he had great point guard play. And I love Patrick Beverley, but not sure if he's that point guard in that system that makes everybody better and makes the offense flow like their team has flowed before when D'Antoni's been successful. But you look at his career, he's had a few stops, and the time that he was successful was when he had Steve Nash. And so it'll be interesting to see with a ball-dominant guy like James Harden, who's a shoot first guy versus the pass first guy, how that works out.
Well, I was just about to ask you, how good a point guard is James Harden?
Not. I mean, he'd be frustrating to play with if I'm his teammates, unless he gets to that point where he figures out that it's a lot more fun when everybody else gets a chance to shoot too, and he's not going for a scoring title. But I would think, based on what we've seen from him in the past, that his eyes had to light up and think that he's got a chance to win a scoring title.
Again, those were the words of a current NBA scout. To start with, I want to address what a scout's role is, because I think there's often a lot of confusion among NBA fans. A scout is not necessarily an extension of the front office. I see a lot of people on NBA Twitter who seem to think that all scouts do is collect intel for their GMs on possible trade targets or free agency signings. They can do that on occasion, but by and large, what they do is for the coaching staff. They go to these games and they try to take a snapshot in time of how things are working for that particular team so that they can circle back to their team, the one employing them, and help them become more prepared from a matchup standpoint. For instance, you might see a scout from an opposing team go to a Rockets game about 2 weeks before his team is slated to play Houston. That scout will then go back to his coaching staff with notes about the sets the Rockets ran, how they used their rotations, and all sorts of intangible factors that you might not be able to tell from simply reading the box score or watching the game on TV. Scouts do have a ton of value, but you have to take what they say in the proper context. In terms of Harden not being a willing passer or being out to win a scoring title, it's very possible that this particular scout just happened to be at a game where Harden didn't pass the ball well. It happens. Over the course of 82 games, everybody's going to have good days and bad days. Even LeBron James does. So remember that this isn't a GM saying, I think James Harden is too selfish to be a point guard based on years of analytics or watching games. This is one scout simply giving his opinion based on a few snapshots in time of what he saw. In this case, the scout may not be entirely wrong. However, I think his reasoning is. I think we've all seen that James Harden is a very gifted and willing passer. Even as a so-called shooting guard, Harden ranked 6th in the entire NBA in assists last year at 7.5 per game. He's a phenomenal passer, and if anything, I think Rockets fans would say there are moments that James doesn't look for his shot enough. Earlier this offseason, after the D'Antoni hire was made official, Harden spoke about watching film of how Steve Nash ran those Suns teams, and he sounded really excited about seeing what he could do in that role. Where there are very real questions about Harden as a point guard come in the context of whether he's efficient enough to be a point guard and be the primary facilitator on an NBA title contender. In that sense, the scout could very well be right. Harden's 4.6 turnovers per game last year were the most in the NBA, and those actually rose to more than 5 per game in the playoffs. We all remember Harden's record-setting 12 turnovers in Game 5 against the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals a year ago. I think that set an all-time NBA record. There are times that James holds the ball too long as well before making a decision. Those could all be issues given how much Mike D'Antoni's system depends on the ball constantly moving. But again, I think the scout is dead wrong about Harden's mentality. He's not out to be selfish or simply out to win a scoring title. He wants to distribute the ball and get his teammates involved. The question is whether he can be that distributor while also remaining efficient enough to not hurt the Rockets with excessive turnovers. That's where the scout could be right. Whether Harden can be that guy is a big question for the Rockets as they enter the 2016-2017 season. I remember back in D'Antoni's first press conference after being hired, someone asked him about Pat Beverly. D'Antoni's response was basically, "We think he's a very good player and he'll have a role, but we don't know what that role is." That told me right there that D'Antoni wasn't yet sure on what direction the Rockets would go at point guard. And remember, that's not a negative critique on Pat. It's just that at this point, we know who Pat Beverly is. He's essentially the point guard version of a 3-and-D guy. He's not a facilitator. But I think after speaking with James and watching more film, D'Antoni has started to become more optimistic on Harden and his ability to be that playmaker. That's why you've seen interviews with D'Antoni. I can think of the podcast he did with the Vertical, kind of alluding to Harden in that Steve Nash role. I think also the additions of Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson play a role. The last 2 years, really, the second best scorer that the Rockets have had after Harden has been Michael Beasley, and they signed him off the scrap heap in March. So they basically had him for 15 to 20 games of one season. Because of that, Harden has had such a high usage and such a limited amount of help that defenses are able to hedge on him and get possible turnovers in a way they aren't for players like Stephen Curry, who have substantially more help than the likes of Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and a much more balanced and deeper scoring roster. I think those factors give D'Antoni more hope that Harden could develop into a primary playmaker while improving his efficiency. That said, it's far from a done deal, and that's what we have to remember. Really, when you look at the Rockets this coming season, there aren't a ton of true questions. Health always is, but aside from that, we know exactly who a lot of these guys are. Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon were big offseason signings, but again, we know who they are. We know who Pat Beverley and Trevor Ariza are, the prototypical 3-and-D guys. We also know what the team's general win range is. You're probably going to see the Rockets somewhere between the low to mid-40s and low to mid-50s, depending on health and chemistry and all those kinds of factors. But basically, they shouldn't be bad enough to be a lottery team, but they obviously aren't going to compete with the Warriors either. I suppose there are definitely questions about Clint Capella and how much of his production will hold up in a larger role. There's all sorts of little questions you can come up with. But the leading big-picture question with this franchise right now is how do you build a contender around James Harden? We know that Daryl Morey wants another star player, but is Harden's wingman best suited to be a big with a low post game, or is it a guard that can relieve the playmaking burden? In other words, do they need more of a traditional point guard like a Ricky Rubio to truly run Mike D'Antoni's system, or is Harden capable of doing that himself and then allowing Daryl Morey to focus exclusively on adding more size and defense? Harden has said all the right things in his offseason interviews, but we're not really going to know the answers until meaningful games get here. James Harden won't be the point guard in name, because obviously Pat Beverley is smaller, and he'll certainly guard the other team's point guards on defense. But we've heard D'Antoni speak glowingly of Harden as a potential facilitator, and we also know that as this roster is currently constructed, Harden's by far the best chance the Rockets have of filling that Nash role. Can he do it? Well, everybody's hoping so, but the Rockets and the questions the scout raised about them are certainly very valid. We've just all got to stay tuned, and once everybody reports to training camp in late September, we'll finally start to get some answers. But aside from Harden, we do have some actual games to talk about. This past weekend was the beginning of Olympic play in basketball, and the Rockets have three players that are either currently with the team or whose international rights they hold. Those, of course, are Nene on Team Brazil, Sergio Yul on Team Spain, and Zhou Qi on China. We'll start with Nene because that was by far the brightest spot for the Rockets, I would say. In Brazil's opener against Lithuania, Nene put up 11 points and 8 rebounds in 29 minutes. And really, those numbers might even be better than what you're thinking based on the level of competition. Lithuania is a very good team, especially when it comes to big men. They've got Jonas Valančiūnas, who might be one of the best defensive bigs in the game. They've also got Domas Sabonis. It's a very deep front line for the Lithuanians. If you think back 2 years ago, right when Donatas Moniūnas was on the verge of his breakout season in Houston, he actually came off the bench for Team Lithuania in the World Championships. That's how big and deep they are in front, that someone that, you know, was a positive NBA contributor and really an above-average NBA player was coming off their bench. It's a good front line, and Nene was very active in that game. Again, 11 points, 8 rebounds, 29 minutes, and the way he did it, he outworked those guys on the inside. If there's a weakness you would point out, he was not particularly good when he was given post touches. He struggled to create his own offense, but that's not what the Rockets were looking for out of him. They're wanting him to be that energy guy. They're looking for him to play the pick and roll, get the garbage points. And from that standpoint, he outworked everybody. It was very promising for Nene. Another thing that I think should make Rockets fans very happy, in those 29 minutes, he only picked up 2 fouls. That's an underrated variable that's going to be important for the Rockets this coming year, because with Clint Capella, there are going to be issues with fouls. Everybody wants to assume that Clint Capella is going to be able to take his production, which was 7-7 roughly in 19 minutes last year, and just extrapolate that into 30 minutes a game as a starter. Well, the one thing we know about Clint Capella, he does reach too often. He does get into foul trouble. Again, over the course of his career, the Rockets should be able to fix these issues. That's a typical problem for a young player, and it's nothing to be too alarmed about. But as Capella transitioned into being a starter for the first time, I do expect it's going to be an issue. So with Capella limited by fouls, you would expect, especially early in the season, what you can't afford is for your backup guy to also be limited by fouls. Because then you have to throw in, you know, power forwards or third string centers, and they can get ugly in a hurry. So for Nene, what you need from him defensively is to be that stabilizing force, that veteran who you can trust not to make mistakes. And if Capella gets in foul trouble, you need to be able to trust Nene to play 25 or 30 minutes in the game, if that's what's called for. So seeing Nene play against a big-time front line in Lithuania and not get in foul trouble, that's a very good sign, as is, again, 11 points, 8 rebounds, and 29 minutes on 50% shooting from the field. Again, one game, but so far, so good. The people I saw on Twitter said Nene looked very healthy, much more explosive than he did a year ago. Those are the people that I know that watched him even more than I did in Washington. So, you know, you've got to monitor it, but very encouraging start. Beyond Nene, you've got the two players the Rockets hold the rights to, which are Chi and Yule. I'll start with Zhou Chi, which is for Team China. He did not particularly have a great game with 3 points, but again, you wouldn't expect him to because this is Team China against Team USA. Team China lost by 60, or almost, I should say, 119-62, so that'd be, what, 57? But it was a total mismatch, and of course, Zhou Chi is still growing into his body. This is a guy who's 7'1" and 218 pounds, only 20 years old, so he's got a lot of developing, a lot of filling out to do. You're not just going to take one game of him on a badly outmatched Team China against Team USA and then extrapolate that into his NBA performance. He's a project. What you want to see with him is a developmental curve. And when you talk about Chi and Team China against Team USA, it's not just the one game this past weekend in the Olympics. It's also the two exhibitions they've had in the last 2 weeks against Team USA as both teams got ready for the Olympics. In those, Chi put up 7.5 points a game in 22 minutes. 40% shooting, I believe, had a couple of rebounds and a couple of assists per game. He's still filling out his body. Again, he's only playing about 22 minutes per game, but he showed flashes. There were times that he made plays off the dribble, made plays in space, which for a guy that's seven feet one, that's a very encouraging thing to see. But what was most telling about it was not his performance on the court, but the reflections from Team USA afterward. I'm going to read you guys a couple of quotes from Kevin Durant and Coach Mike Krzyzewski on what they saw out of him, and really, Rockets fans have to be pleased hearing this kind of stuff. From Kevin Durant, "The young player that they had that was picked by Houston is pretty good. He is long, he is agile, and he can shoot the basketball really well." Again, that's Kevin Durant on Zhou Chi. Now we're going to look at Mike Krzyzewski, who, of course, legendary coach of Duke University and has been the Team USA coach for quite some time. "He's going to be very good," Krzyzewski said. "He has all the skills necessary. He's friendly with the ball, 7 feet tall. He picked up the physicality. He was trying to be physical. I mentioned this morning with my staff, I said, you know, Chi is getting better." Really, again, that's the most you can ask for. The Rockets aren't going to see him in Houston this year. Probably not going to see him next year either. You're looking at a 3 to 4 year project as he continues to build strength and get ready for the conversion. All you want to see is the long-term potential. And on that front, both on the court as well as how he's impressed Team USA, both with his play on the court as well as in any practices and just being around him, it's hard to ask for more from a second-round draft pick in his first summer, especially when you're looking already at that kind of conversion process. The other player in the mix, of course, is Sergio Yule. Spain did suffer a fairly disappointing loss to Croatia at the buzzer when Pau Gasol got rejected on a last-second shot. But Yule put up 9 points and 3 assists in 28 minutes. And really, it's more than that. It's how he commanded the offense and how good the players around him were. You look at Spain's starting lineup. You've got Yule, Nikola Mirotic, Ricky Rubio, Pau Gasol, and Rudy Fernandez, who was an NBA player at one point. You've got 5 NBA guys right there. So to have Yule in that kind of company, it's a high-level team. And to see him basically directing the offense, that's a very good sign. Bill Simmons, who I think we all respect as a basketball analyst, tweeted this on Sunday afternoon. "Croatia versus Spain on NBCSN. What a Sunday afternoon present. Rubio, Pau, Mirotic. How the hell is Sergio Yule not in the NBA? And Daryl Morey, who of course, Rockets GM, very good friends with Bill, tweeted back to him saying, "Yule is waiting to make a Scola-like late career dominant entrance into the NBA." Of course, he's partially kidding, but there's also some truth in it. Yule's only 28 years old. That's old for people coming over, but players come over much older than that sometimes. Pablo Prigioni, who's on the Rockets roster now, didn't make it to the NBA from Europe until he was in his, what, low to mid-30s. So there's plenty of time. You hope Yule doesn't wait that long to where, by the time Prigioni made it, his skills athletically were already starting to erode. I think Yule still has 4 or 5 prime years left, so you hope he can make it over there before then. But I think it also shows that there is hope. The Rockets do have some hopes for Sergio Yule. And really, at this point in his career, playing so much on the international stage and playing on such very good teams, both in European competition with Team Spain, everything else, it would not be a huge transition for him when he comes. You hope it's next year. It's certainly not going to be this year. But Scola is a good comparison. Morey referenced Luis Scola. When he came over, it took Luis Scola, really, I'd say a couple of weeks, and then he was a good NBA player. By the end of his first year, he was a very good NBA player. So as down as people are that Yule is 28 and he still hasn't come to the NBA, and there are some people doubting if he ever will, at the same time, Morey makes a good point that if and when he ever does, it's possible to see him come in and be good right away. So I know Rockets fans are frustrated because every offseason someone mentions Sergio Yule. It never happens and people want to give up on it, but they shouldn't do that because he's a good player. It's just like a free agent. It may not ever work out, but if it's a good player that can improve your team, do you go after them? Absolutely. And from a perception standpoint, what I think Yule and Shi both do is build the Rockets as a franchise, that they have a good talent pipeline to get better in the years ahead. Because I think that there's one place that the Rockets clearly suffered in this past year and took a step back. It's in the perception of the organization around the league. They knew that Dwight was somewhat in physical decline, and then you had all these narratives with Harden and leadership and defense and all these questions, and then you had the coaching chaos, Kevin McHale fired after 11 games, J.B. Bickerstaff coming in as an interim guy and never really getting a handle on what was going on, and you just had so many people questioning the Rockets from a culture standpoint. And what you've seen this offseason, you've seen the Rockets push back really hard against that narrative. You've seen Daryl Morey say numerous times that the Rockets had the third best winning percentage in the NBA over the past 10 years. But beyond that, they're trying to take actionable steps that prove that they have that kind of culture and that kind of winning. Hiring Mike D'Antoni was a very much win-now move. He's a guy with a defined system. They brought in multiple guys, Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon, that fit that system. They're working out with James Harden, who's making it very clear that he's in better shape than ever. He's taking the initiative to become more of a leader than he's ever been before. So you see what the Rockets are trying to do is improve their perception around the league, because that stuff absolutely did play a role. It felt like, for a while, as I wouldn't say early in free agency, because the Rockets did get commitments from Anderson and Gordon on day two, but in the days leading up to free agency, it felt like not enough players valued the Rockets highly enough. Rockets fans held the team in higher regard than free agents apparently did. And a big reason for that disconnect was that narrative that kind of got pushed around in the league that, hey, maybe this team, there's something culturally wrong. They're on the way down. Well, now what the Rockets are trying to do is prove that they're on the way up. They're hopefully going to exceed expectations this year. Hopefully they can make a run in the playoffs. And we've already heard Daryl Morey say that they're going to go after all-star level players and future free agencies. That's part of why they locked up Harden to a long-term extension to put that stability narrative out there. But beyond that, they want to make clear that this is a good organization with a long-term focus rivaled by very few. And so it's not just about the players on the roster. Sure, it looks pretty good now, but then they also have the rights to international guys like Sergio Yule, like Joe Chi, that could make the roster even better in the years ahead. Because free agents notice that stuff. Free agents want long-term fits. They are smarter than ever. They want to win, and they want to be part of an organization that they feel like is going to take care of them and put them in a position to contend for titles for a long time. And so that's what the Rockets are trying to reestablish this offseason with these narratives. And even if Joe Chi, you know, he's 2 or 3 years away probably from competing in the NBA and actually contributing to a winner. Sergio Yule is at least 1 year away. But just the perception that those guys are out there, that of the top international prospects, the Rockets have at least two of them, that's big for how people are going to view this franchise. Because Daryl Morey doesn't want the Rockets to be seen as a team on the decline anymore. He wants the Rockets to be seen as a team that's on the up and up, that's going to be better this year and should have even a brighter future in the years after that. So that's where these international guys come in. And in an absolute worst-case scenario, you know what? These guys like Sergio Yule and Joe Chi play really well in the Olympics, even if you know you don't think that they're going to make it to Houston. Even if you're pessimistic about that, then those international trade rights, they have value as a trade chip, you know? Those international rights, you can trade them. That's what the Spurs did with Luis Scola. Now, they didn't get the best return, but, you know, every little bit helps, especially when you're going up against teams with so much competition. When the Rockets make big-time trade offers, they're going up against the likes of Boston with all these prospects and draft picks. And again, the Rockets, they're not terrible from an asset standpoint, but they're not at the front of the line. So every little bit helps. And even if you don't think those guys are going to get to Houston, just seeing those two play well and having that in your stockpile of trade assets, that's another good thing. So that largely positive note feels like a good place to wrap up this show. I think we covered a lot of ground today. We had the exclusive interview with an NBA scout on James Harden and particularly how he fits in to the point guard position under Mike D'Antoni, if in fact that's what the Rockets want him to do. We also took a look at the individual Olympic performances by the players the Rockets either have now or hold the rights to. Destiné on Team Brazil, Joe Chi on Team China, and Sergio Llull on Team Spain. At this point in the NBA calendar, we're not with you every day. We will be almost all year. This is the one time from early August until mid-September when there's really not a ton going on. So we're coming to you twice a week. I would suspect our latter episode this week will be on Thursday or Friday, and we'll have more Olympic updates. We'll also try and get you an exclusive interview. But in the meantime, things are quiet on the NBA front. A lot of players, those not in the Olympics, are taking their vacations, getting geared up for training camp. But once they get back in Houston, which will be around mid-September, training camp starts in late September, we'll be back on a daily basis previewing the team, getting you ready for the season, and one that everybody around the Rockets has a lot of hope for in 2016 and 2017. So for now, I'm going to sign off. Again, this is Ben DuBose. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben DuBose. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. You can also email the show at lockedonrockets@gmail.com with any advertising inquiries or longer questions. You can always reach out to us with questions about the team, too, just basic stuff. We have regular Twitter mailbags. I think we'll do that later this week. And again, thank you all for listening. We're proud to be the most frequent podcast covering the Houston Rockets. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And don't forget about Locked On Texans, which is going to be our sister podcast on the NFL side. While things are quiet with basketball, or certainly not with football, Texans have their first preseason game this weekend. So Locked On Texans should be launching very soon. You can find it at the Locked On Podcast Network and subscribe there. It's going to be hosted by Aaron Wilson, Texans beat writer for the Houston Chronicle. And if we're a little bit quiet over the next few weeks, Aaron should definitely offset that for your listening habits. So on that note, we will see you later this week. Have a good one, Houston.